Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you were too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is, well, there's a lot of working titles. Holigays 2020, mm-hmm. Holigays...
Home for the Holigays.
Home for the Holigays. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, like, Holigays queer, like holiday cheer, but that
the is holidays just... are queer.
Yeah.
Like the holidays
and are then queer. My favorite, which Brie was also a fan of, is Santa isn't real, but if he was, he was a fag.
Really rolls off the tongue.
Absolutely.
I think very clickable and searchable. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be curious if Santa was in fact gay.
You can't be woke if you don't know that Santa was gay.
Just a beard for Mrs. Claus, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, they're not really working for most of the year. It's just a big circuit party.
Okay, so we're here for some holiday cheer, as you can tell.
Yeah.
We wanted to do this episode, one, because we do this episode every year, pretty much, right? Was last year our first holiday?
Yeah.
So right on track. Every year, here we are. But the holidays are undeniably very different this year.
Yeah.
Because, as we all know, there's something going on called a little pandemic,
mm-hmm.
That we're all having to deal with. Yes. And I think that is bringing a lot of changes. Also, a lot of things that might specifically for queer folks be both positive and negative about the holiday season. Let's just chat a bit about how are the holidays going to be different for you this year?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, we're not allowed to see anyone.
I know. Isn't that sad? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. It's honestly... it's so hard. So, the hardest part this year will be my grandmother mm-hmm. is 91 years old.
Yeah.
And I probably get it from her, but she constantly jokes about dying.
Oh my God.
As
no wonder you got your sense of humor.
That's what I also joke about it. But she'll be like, you know, like, no, oh, this is my last one. Like,
oh,
which is so depressing. And I don't like to actually give it real thought because I just chalk it up to it being a joke.
Yeah.
But she's 91 and she's obviously the most at risk age group.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because we are basically being told by the government, which we are listening to mm-hmm. hunker down, you know, to ride it out.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to see my mom have to go through this whole thing because it's like you almost know that your mom doesn't have a ton of Christmases left. Like, it's like for us, we can say, oh, well, there's always next year.
Yeah.
But at 91, you don't have that certainty.
Totally.
And so it's so hard to make the decision to not see someone elderly, as all of us have been doing, because it's like you want to experience Christmas and the holidays with these people that you love.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to be the reason that they get sick.
Yeah.
So... it's just like, it's so hard, and I am not envious of my mother at all because that is such a hard position to be in,
mm-hmm.
and I love my grandma so much, and I love my parents, and yeah, so that's honestly going to be the hardest part because I want to cherish the time that I have with mm-hmm. her, and it's just, genuinely breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And not many things do, so.
That stone cold heart of yours is shattered.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I think time isn't promised to anybody, right? Like, me and you, not to joke about death so soon after that story, but we could kick it any day. Anyone could, right?
Yeah.
But odds are, knock on wood.
Yeah.
That
that's gypsum.
We're going Jesus Christ. My anxiety goes through the
roof. Fake here.
It's odds are that we're going to be around, right? The worst thing that we're kind of thinking about right now, a thing that I see happening a lot with our age group, is people feeling like maybe their life plans are pushed back. You know, they're like, oh, me and my significant other are really thinking of having a baby a year from now. But now a year from now, all we're going to want to do is travel or like actually see our friends. Yeah, subtweet. or like I wanted to get married this year and now that's pushed back. We had to push back our wedding date. You know, that's something that's quite common for our age group right now. But feeling like you're losing time or having to push plans back is very different from elderly folks right now who are feeling like this could be their last time.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine that feeling of feeling like, oh, well, this, like, right now, my grandma, similar situation. She's not in her 90s yet, but she's in her mid to late 80s. And, like, she's scared.
Yeah.
And what a vulnerable position to be in. I mean, I think all of us to some degree are scared, but I think obviously if you have certain conditions or if you're elderly, if you're one of the groups that's more vulnerable, then you're going to be, you know, reasonably more scared. Yeah. I don't know how else to put it. And with my grandma, like, even before BC recently closed it down to households only, before that, it was my sister's birthday, and it was still the kind of like in your immediate bubble. And my parents wanted to have my sister and her husband and myself and my girlfriend Julia over for dinner and my grandma. And my grandma canceled the day before and felt terrible about it. Because she was just like, honestly, I am so terrified that I'm going to come and get COVID. Not even because of COVID, but she's like, I'm terrified that if I get it, that I'm going to be in the hospital alone for God knows how long and you guys can't even come visit me.
Yeah.
And it's this weird like catch 22 of like, on one hand, she's not coming because she doesn't want to be alone in a hospital. But on the other hand, then she doesn't get to see us anyways.
Yeah.
And it's like really fucked up.
It's a
like,
real lose-lose.
Yeah. And I feel so terrible for people in that situation and their loved ones. Like you said, like, it's one thing to, like, I love my grandma. And obviously, grandmas are, like, so fantastic. But for me, thinking about how my mom feels, like, that's her mom.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a different relationship, right?
Totally.
And that's, like, how I would feel about my mom. And I can't imagine that.
I have this thing. I've said it to my boyfriend and maybe you before, but I get really sad when I think about my parents eating alone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Me too.
It's the weirdest thing. But not really my dad. Not in a, I'm not like, fuck my dad. But my dad is just like, you know, he's his own entity.
Yeah.
He's always traveling for work, not anymore. But he's kind of used to being alone.
Yeah.
But thinking about my mom eating alone makes me really sad. I don't know why. It just like has always done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like my grandma, like, doesn't really have, like, her fucking love of her life husband passed away years ago, and she's had us for joy sometimes, you know, support and conversation and, you know, to help her, all these things. So, like, to also have that taken away, like, that just haunts me, like, the fact, like, the thought of my grandma eating alone on Christmas,
I
just,
know.
Like, I can't even think about her, I'll start crying.
I know.
So,
same.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's get into how, you know, besides grandparents dying, let's talk about something equally as sad.
Yeah.
Or I guess not, depends how you look at it, which is, like, being queer in the holiday season and how this year
Has shifted it. Some of the pressures.
Sometimes in a beneficial way and sometimes not.
So, it's interesting because both of us just started this podcast episode talking about our families and the fact that for both of us, a lot of the heartbreak of this season is going to be not being around our families or knowing our families can't be around each other or us. And that is kind of like at our top heartbreak priority list, if you will.
Yeah.
Whereas I am very aware that for a lot of folks out there, the inability or the feeling of pressure that you have to see certain family members during the holiday season, that being gone might be a great thing for them.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know so many, not personally, so many people mostly on gay Twitter or gay Instagram that had similar feelings going into Thanksgiving.
Right.
Because usually a lot of them moved away to like a big city from maybe somewhere that wasn't too kind to them growing up, somewhere that was more homophobic, wasn't as accepting. So people made moves for their own mental health and well-being and sanity to bigger cities. And then every year around this time, I guess twice for Americans, twice in a row, they get a back-to-back there. Having to grapple going back to that same headspace. And how triggering and what's the word I'm trying to think of?
I get what you're saying. Like, I saw someone post about it the other day in a TikTok, actually, saying how for them, it's not just like going back home. It actually feels like going back in time.
It's like going back into an older self of yours.
Yeah, like we're almost regressing from your growth and your personal decisions to like better yourself and your environment and your life and be in an environment that's safe and healthy for you and supportive of you. It's like this weird pressure when the holiday season comes around that it's like, okay, yeah, that's all fair and good, but also you have to go love your family because
like, they don't love you or accept anything you do, but you have to go eat a full giant bird with them.
And it is like we laugh about it, but it's like a lot of pressure because there's this really weird like social stigma that, you know, the whole blood is thicker than water tripe and like this.
But once again, in this, is it?
No. Keep in mind, like I'm just saying here that this is like what kind of society puts on people. We don't agree with it.
No, I was more talking about, is it really thicker than water? They dilute pretty well. I'm assuming so.
Oh my God. Now that I'm actually thinking about it.
No, I said that in an episode.
I feel like some blood is thicker than water, but some blood isn't.
I know. Like, are they anemic?
Well, sometimes also when I cut myself, I'm like, ooh, that's the thick stuff.
Right.
And then sometimes I'm like, my iron's low. And it's just like kind of watery.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's totally. It's very different. Yeah, very different. So sometimes.
Science podcast.
You know us, bringing out the scientific facts. So I just feel like, and I know a lot of people out there can relate, that gay people, queer people, feel like assholes, even if their family has treated them like shit, that they don't continue to talk to their families or that they spend time with their families during the holidays.
Yeah. Isn't that so wild? That
which is fucked.
It's like, all this terrible stuff can happen from people that should be the closest people in your life.
Yeah.
They can do all this terrible stuff to you, but you're still made into the enemy because you choose not to put yourself through something that could be traumatic or triggering.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is fucked.
Like, you're guarding yourself by saying you didn't support me and don't agree with my lifestyle, and somehow you're enemy number one.
Yeah, like, which is so backwards, and but it just comes back to, like, this societal stigma or, like, traditional understanding that, like, you have to have family first and your family is your blood and, like, all these other things. And as we know and as we've talked about on this podcast, the amazing thing is a lot of queer people, to better themselves and their environment, have created a chosen family that during the holidays they would probably love to spend time with. Obviously, this year they might not be able to even spend time with their chosen family in the way that they would like, but any year would prefer spending time with them, people that are supportive and, you know, acknowledge their identity and respect their identity, instead of spending it with their blood family. But if they don't go home, then somehow they look like the asshole. Like, they look like the person that's separating themselves from their family. And I think a lot of queer people can also relate to the fact that you always kind of have this part of you that hopes that they might accept you this time.
Yeah, this year is going to be different.
Yeah, and it's like, I understand that. Like, I have a friend who, for many years, just kept putting herself back in a position of she'd go home for the holidays, you know, her family would just be just as homophobic and she'd be bummed out. And then during the year, during space, she'd think, okay, maybe they've adapted or learned more or grown to accept me more. Let's try this again. Because you yearn for that. You yearn for your family's acceptance. And you, no matter what you say, like, everyone would love to have a family that accepts who they are and is a healthy space, right? So you think it's kind of like, not distance makes the heart grow fonder, kind of. It's kind of like you forget because it's not. It's like when you haven't hung out with that toxic friend.
It's like distance. For a while. It's not distance makes the heart grow fonder. It's like distance made it easier to forget that you hate me.
Yeah.
Like, yes. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you haven't seen a toxic friend in a while and you're like, you know, we should catch up sometime. And you go out for drinks and you're like, oh, this is why.
Yeah, this is why it's been 6 months.
This is why I hate you.
Yeah.
And you hate me or whatever it may be.
Okay, Gabers, we're going to take a quick break to tell you about something that we've recently experienced. And yes, I say experienced because Magic Spoon, the cereal, is incredible and you need to hear about it. So growing up, I was obsessed with cereal. But as I got older, it was super sugary and way too sweet for me. So it kind of lost that fun vibe. But the nostalgia of having a bowl of cereal is still there, which is why we're so excited to find Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon has 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. My personal favorite is cocoa, and it tastes amazing, but it has 0 grams of sugar and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. Plus, it has 11 grams of protein. It's keto-friendly, gluten-friendly, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Basically, it's incredible, and you can go to magicspoon.com/explain right now to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code EXPLAIN at checkout to get free shipping, which is huge. I hate paying for shipping. So again, you can go to magicspoon.com/explain and use the code EXPLAIN for free shipping on a variety pack of Magic Spoon. Thank you so much to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. Let's get back to it.
It's also so wild to me when people like fight people when they say that they don't like the holiday season.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people that, even though it's advertised to us
yes.
as the happiest time of the year, filled with cheer and joy, and not specifically Christmas. Some people don't celebrate Christmas, or you might not celebrate anything.
Yeah.
But just this time of year is like, it's almost like a front by saying how much cheer and joy there is.
Yeah.
And like, if all these songs are telling me how joyful and cheerful I am, I'm not necessarily buying it. But I do hear a lot of people say like, hey, you know, Christmas doesn't have good memories for me or I've never really had a strong family connection.
Yeah.
So Christmas is hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because almost every single time I've heard that, I've seen people push back like, well, I love the holidays.
And it's like, fuck off.
It's like, yeah, I get you do.
Yeah, you love the holidays because they're
happy. That's great for you.
Like, exactly.
It's so wild that people can't just like step back from their own experiences sometimes and
totally.
Be like, hey, this, if all my cards are aligned, I could see how this is a great, positive, happy time of the year.
Yeah.
But if any of those cards aren't falling into place, it can be horrific.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you have to fucking sit with your own loneliness and stew about, you know?
All the shit.
Yeah.
But I want to speak to that because at one point I was that person about the holidays.
Okay.
Because from the place that I was at.
Because you didn't get a Lexus for Christmas.
Fuck off. No, but I am going to speak to my privilege here. I always had great holiday experiences. The holidays growing up for me were always really, you know, cookie cutter magical. You know, my family was happy. I would get to go visit my extended relatives. I, you know, got along with all my cousins. It was fun. I always had really good holiday memories growing up.
Yeah.
And I also don't associate, I don't know if it's just timing wise of when I came out or like anything like that, but in no way do I associate like feeling in the closet around the holidays. I just, for whatever reason, that kind of passed for me.
Yeah.
And I remember like my girlfriend at the time, this was years and years ago, was like, oh, I hate the holidays. And I remember being like, oh, that is so negative. Like, that is like, whoa, what's wrong with you? Because I couldn't see past my own vision of what the holidays were. And I was really closed-minded in that way. And then through that conversation, I think I gave her quite a bit of pushback of like, why don't you just like it? Like, she didn't want to
watch.
Why
don't you just smile?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
smile.
Put on a fucking bell or something.
Put on your fucking matchy snowflake onesies and get hat. Under the tree like, my with God. Me. Yeah, and I remember, like, she didn't want to watch Christmas movies. Like, it was very triggering for her. And it was very, like, fucked up of me to kind of push back on that.
Yeah.
But we got to the point where we, like, had a communication about it. And she was like, listen, like, my family fucking hates me. I've been excluded from every holiday activity since I came out, unless basically I'm told if I come, I can't act like who I am.
Yeah.
And I have to hide myself. So I'm given this ultimatum of, like, that's really fucked up. I, like, have also a lot of outside of my queerness triggering memories when it comes to, like, her parents were divorced. So splitting up and it being around the holidays, and also holidays, her parents putting pressure on her and her brother for being in the right place at the right time between the households and that kind of being fed through the children. And
a classic.
Yeah. And so she... like, explain this to me. And it was, like, one of those moments where I was like, wow, like, I really need to, like, open my privileged mindset more. Because, like, I was young at that point, and I think I just was really closed off. Like, most of my friends at that point had similar experiences to me around the holidays. Or maybe they didn't, but I wasn't, like, deep enough with my friends at the time to, like, know what was going on behind the closed doors.
Yeah,
like, totally. Everyone put the happy face on in high school, right? And after, like, hearing about that, I was like, oh, like, that's very different for a lot of people. And then, obviously, growing up and making more queer friends, like, at the time I didn't really have queer friends, and, like, hearing different people's experiences, and now, like, being very much in the community, both in person and on the internet, and hearing different people's holiday experiences, like, I'm very aware that for a lot of people, like, the holidays are not good times. But I think the cool thing that I'm seeing is this awareness that holidays don't have to mean one thing. Like, I think when I was growing up, it was very much, especially since I was from, like, a white, prominent Christian neighborhood, it was very much the holidays means Christmas.
Santa.
And it means Santa. Yeah. And it means you're with your family, your blood family.
And you're all smiling.
Yeah. You're all wearing your matching sweatshirts and you're smiling around the tree. And now, like, I'm seeing so many different people, both, like, in-person friends or, like, people posting about it online, acknowledging how they're, what the holidays now mean to them and how they've molded it to make something that works, that is a happy time for them and kind of, like, a reset for them, which I think is, like, super healing. And I think this year in particular, as much as it's so fucked up for so many reasons, is a cool year to start, because a lot of queer people are given the space for almost the first time.
Totally.
Where they don't feel obligated to do things that they don't want to do. You have the easiest out.
Yeah. I don't want to die of this horrific coronavirus.
Yeah, literally.
That's plaguing our nation.
Like, it soothes my soul, the knowing the lack of family dinners that will be happening where queer people can't bring their partners.
Oh, God,
or
yeah.
Where queer people, like, have to make up lies of why they don't want to go.
Especially this just falling after an election.
Oh,
like,
it's, God.
You know, it's a just, good year to be able to skip.
Yeah, it's a good year.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I feel like... It's kind of like it's a veto card, right? In this whole, like, pandemic thing. And if there's any silver lining, I think that's it. That in so many ways, not just with the holidays, we've joked on this podcast before about how, like, it's the easiest way to say you don't want to hang out with friends.
Honestly.
Back when you could still, like, somewhat hang out with certain people.
The good, like, old days. The good old
full,
the good old pandemic days.
bubbles at six.
Bubbles
sorry, capped.
Maxed out. Capped. Yeah.
Someone's got to drop before, and then I got a wait list.
But we're all tested negative, so.
But, like, yeah, I think that is something that's kind of.
It's like an Uno reverse card on holiday sadness.
It is.
You know?
It is.
They're like, time to relive your nightmare. And you're like, well, I got one of these, bitch.
I'm living a nightmare, but in a different way this year. Stuck at home.
Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader. But Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist.
I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch. And honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
So speaking of holidays and families and representation.
Okay.
This year, we have been gifted a queer holiday story.
Yes.
Happiest Season. And this, I don't know how to approach this. This sparked a debate with people we know.
And, like, the world.
And the world, yes.
Internet. Like, it was crazy online. Yeah.
But specifically, some people we know.
Yeah.
It sparked a debate about queer content, representation, holiday representation.
Yeah.
All these things.
Yeah.
And I would like to talk about it.
Okay, yeah. I want to talk about it, too.
So, yeah, this movie, I haven't seen it because I... hate Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
And I know, like, that sounds bad, and I know I'm probably going to get attacked online by all of all of our queer women listeners, but I just don't find her to be appealing or a good actress. And that's the end of the road for me.
And that's it. That's it. Okay.
But yeah, I just, like, I'm just not a huge fan of hers, so I haven't jumped to see the movie. But I think I will watch it because I need something to pass the time.
Yes.
So I wasn't one of the people lined up at their own laptop.
You didn't buy a premiere day ticket?
No, I did not. But I know that it has, for some people, been huge, and for other people... been a huge pain to them.
Yeah, totally.
So the specific discussion that was created, especially with people we know, was that it's good to have representation, but when is representation going to be not about being gay?
Right.
Which is funny because I think it was a ludicrous statement.
Yeah.
And then saying it back out loud, it sounds even dumber.
Here's the thing. I, like...
Oh, that little hand punch. She mad.
my...
Here's the thing.
I just clocked Sean just out of pure anger. No. Okay. I did my best to hear both sides about this. I genuinely did.
I didn't, but it was, that's strong of you.
It was on Twitter, and like there's some people going back and forth about it. And the conclusion that I came to was that it just comes down to that we don't have enough representation.
Absolutely.
Because, and I want to say that and acknowledge it, because I do think that bottom line... queer people should have enough choice that they don't feel like they have to just watch anything that comes out because it's queer or has queer characters in it, because they're so desperate for any form of representation.
Yeah. The goal is to be at the point that you can say, hey, I want to watch a lesbian holiday movie.
Yeah.
Do we want to watch the one that her family hates her? The one that her family is indifferent? Do we want them to be people of color?
Yes,
do we want them to be adopted?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we need to get there.
We need to get there. Where we literally have, like, this a library, like you would have any other holiday movie representation.
Like an entire, maybe, channel. It could be called, like, Hallmark or something.
Exactly.
Just spitballing.
yeah. Gay Hallmark.
Yeah.
Exactly. and I think that's the problem, right? What I didn't like is that I felt like a lot of people... get on their, like, soapbox, and they feel like they need to take it out on every bit of representation that comes out.
Yeah.
And I get it. There's certain representation that's actually, like, problematic and should be, like, that was really a problematic way to represent our community. But when it's just like, hey, this isn't the queer story that I wanted, now I'm going to stamp my feet and be annoyed about it, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because the conversation should be not, oh, I hated Happiest Season. Like, that movie fucking sucked. It wasn't about this, this, and this. It should be, I need to have more holiday movie choices or movie choices in general that I can choose from because I didn't want to watch a coming out story.
Yes.
And my follow-up to that is that I actually think it's unfair to say that it was annoying for anybody that it was about coming out, because there are a plethora of queer folks that probably loved seeing a coming out holiday story represented because they felt like they could relate to that and that they've been there. I think queer people in so many ways can relate to the fact that the holidays carry more pressure. And for me personally, I related to all sorts of different characters. I related to the character who wasn't out to her family feeling pressure to hide it. I related to the character that was dating someone that wasn't out to their family during the holidays and like feeling the fact that I was being like kind of pushed into the closet or left out of things. I related to being the ex who was so hot, by the way, Aubrey Plaza. But anyways, I digress, who felt like they were kind of fucked over by someone. And this is maybe hard for you to relate to because you haven't seen it yet. But what I'm
saying... Was there a vodka aunt? Wine mom? Because that's what I'll relate to.
There was a wacky sister, which you always need. I'll
take
it, yeah. Jane was iconic. But yeah, I think that the way I saw it is I was like, they really kind of like came at that experience, that holiday experience, from all sorts of angles. They came at it from the person who's in the closet, the person who's out but being like pushed away by their partner. They came at it from the angle of like, you know, the ex that maybe used to be, you know, be kind of treated like shit or bullied about being gay. Like, they had all these different avenues. They had the gay male character who was like out and proud and was like, you shouldn't put up with anyone who's trying to like hide you. So I could relate to, like, almost every character in a different way, bits and pieces. And I was watching it and thinking, yeah, is this a shame that this happens to queer people at the holidays? Of course. Is it, like, actually, I think, a fair representation of a bunch of different perspectives of the pressure around the holiday season for queer folks? Absolutely. Do I think a lot of people will watch that and feel like they're feeling seen because they've felt that during the holidays? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I think a lot of queer people might think that this would be a really cool opportunity to branch with their family how they might feel?
Hey, let's watch a movie. Oh, is it queer?
You know? And it kind of like even me, like I think like my parents are like the most supportive people and I'm obviously very out to them. But I don't know that I've ever had a conversation with them about how I felt around the holidays when I wasn't out and kind of like feeling like I had to lie over certain things. And watching that movie with them or telling them to watch that movie might be like a kind of fun way for me not to have that conversation, but kind of like tell that story.
That's the thing for me as well, is that I just found it so ridiculous, and if you disagree with me, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole world is about differing opinions, but I think that this, oddly enough, is not a movie with a storyline that has been told a lot of times.
No.
You know, it's not like we are... This, once again, I will admit, falls back onto the blame of that we don't have enough representation.
Yeah.
So I agree with that side of it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But this isn't a story that's been told a ton of times. So it's not like, oh, do I want to watch this Christmas coming out movie or the 50 others?
Yeah.
No, this is one of the very few, sadly, but it is one of the very few.
Uh-huh.
And I just found it a little ridiculous that queer people are like, this isn't the story that I wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this doesn't represent where I am in my life or maybe somewhere I never was in my life.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can't step back and say, wow, I can see that, first of all, this is great for people that are in this situation. It's great that I am at a place in my life that I don't relate to this story in a weird way.
Totally.
If you don't relate to this story, like, good for you.
Yeah.
But you should see how impactful it can be for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, my final thing was that sometimes queer stories aren't just for queer people.
Yeah.
This is such, like you said, such a good way of getting other people to understand something mm-hmm. that you may have gone through without having to have the weight of explaining the yeah. small intricacies mm-hmm. of why you didn't like the holidays for years.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, like that is a weight lifted off your shoulders by just your parents stumbling across this movie or maybe you watching it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think also like, I think both you and I just spoke to a lot of things that are really important and could be powerful about the film, which I think is really great. Like, it's great to, like, go deep about it and, like, how this could help people or people could relate. But also, let's take a step back here and acknowledge the fucking fact that this was advertised as a rom-com.
Yeah.
It's a rom-com. So when I'm seeing all these people online and they're like, oh, it was weird how the sisters fought like so aggressively. Like that was a little over the top. Oh, it was, this made me uncomfortable when this character was so like poorly acted and over the top and like wacky. Oh, like I don't think this is like totally articulated how the coming out experience would go. The fact that the dad got over it so quickly and it wrapped up in a happy way and all the problems were solved, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, have you ever watched a fucking rom-com before?
A straight rom-com?
Like,
you want unanswered questions.
Oh my
Jump
God.
Into a straight rom-com.
Like, I'm like, hello, have you seen Wedding Crashers? Have you seen like any of these like comedy, light comedy or rom-com movies where there's these crazy scenes of like people tumbling down the stairs. Oh, so-and-so's fucking so-and-so's mom on their wedding day. So-and-so's whatever. Like what did you expect? This was not advertised as a drama or
yeah.
like a like intense, like high level edited, written, acted film. This was advertised as a fucking rom-com.
Yeah, like Adam Sandler is still making movies.
Like
you know, like let's not
yeah.
let's not jump too deeply into it, you know?
And that's the thing. Like I think for what was advertised, they did a good job. It followed the thing. People were like, oh, well, it just summed up too quickly and we never found out what happened to this character and this character and this character. I'm like, that's a fucking rom-com.
Yeah.
You find out what happens to the two leads.
It's not
they
a
cut
Netflix
everyone else
original
gone.
Series 10 seasons.
Like, seriously. Like, yeah, that character, you really liked them and then they just poofed, seemed to disappear and you had no idea where they went. That's a rom-com.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what we don't understand as queer people is because we get one, we pick it apart.
Yeah.
We're like, this is our one movie. So like, I want to know what happens to this character. I liked this character the best. I think it should have gone like this. It's like, you would never have that energy if you just threw on the Hallmark channel and watch one of their 8,000 movies.
Exactly.
You'd be
yeah.
like, oh yeah, whatever, could take it or leave it.
Because you're like, how many princesses are meeting bakers, you know? Like, how many strong, independent business women are going back to, like, fuck a plumber in their hometown? Let's talk about unrealistic here.
So that's the thing, like, I feel like, did it represent every queer experience? Absolutely not. It didn't promise that it was going to, and it shouldn't. We should have so many movies to choose from. I think at the end of the day, my opinion is it delivered what it said it was going to deliver, and it was a holiday movie about a certain queer experience. The issue is not with that movie. The issue is the fact that we don't have more choices. And then the one final thing that I just have to put as a footnote to this whole ordeal is the facts are obviously a little passionate about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I can tell.
I was just like, I hate when people like do the most about something that was supposed to not be the most.
Yeah.
Like, it was supposed to be our fun, lighthearted rom-com. We were supposed to get one of those. And do you think, like, all these producers and writers out there are gonna, like, wanna make more fun, kind of ridiculous, lighthearted rom-coms when everyone, it comes out and every queer woman out there is like, it's not getting out. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Enjoy it for what it is. Have a laugh. Watch it with some popcorn, turn it off, and go on with your evening. Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
It's also wild to me that I absolutely get that a lot of queer representation is about the struggles of coming out. I get that.
Yeah.
fully get that. But I have never been, and I'm not saying this makes me some fucking like elite, you know, mm-hmm. like transcendent person.
Yeah.
But I've never been the type of person that I see that and it I know it does for a lot of people, but it doesn't open old wounds for me. And once
yeah.
again, I'm not saying like mm-hmm. I'm better than you because it doesn't. But for me, when I see movies about, you know, struggling coming out, sometimes it does strike a chord mm-hmm. with me and I'm like, oh, like, oof, didn't want to think about that. But for the most part, I'm like, wow, I am not at a place in my life anymore that I'm going through these same things.
Yeah.
And it kind of like makes me happy in a weird way because I'm like, oh, I know that a lot of people are going through this and I'm currently not or not anymore.
Yeah. Totally.
So, and not saying that that's like the only mindset, because that's a tricky one to navigate into, but.
But here's the thing with that, like with what you're saying.
Yeah.
This was advertised
as
a coming out.
Yeah, you watched the trailer. You fucking knew.
You knew it was happening.
You saw the trailer. You saw it was only white people.
And
they were going to hate her.
That were going to hide in the closet, and then they were going to eventually come out right before fucking Christmas Day.
Yeah.
As it was laid out. You knew what was going to happen.
It wasn't like, this is a holiday tale, and also the entirety of the Stonewall riots.
Exactly. Or like that's the thing. Some people wanted more and some people wanted less, right? Some people were like, why couldn't it just have been like, oh, they couldn't find the right baking soda while shopping for their Christmas cupcake sale, and they also happened to be gay. I'm like, did you watch the trailer? Because they didn't say that's what it was going to be.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Everyone was shocked. Everyone was like, oh, I'm so triggered because it's a coming out story. If you're that concerned with the movie, read the synopsis watch the trailer.
It's not like we're also at that place that they're this isn't like a Christopher Nolan movie. Like they're not putting a trailer that's so misleading.
No,
you know, they tell the whole story.
Yeah, they tell the whole story in 60 seconds, and if you like that story, you can watch it again,
the extended version.
Yeah, exactly.
You also got the Sparks notes of the whole thing, beginning, middle, end.
Yeah,
and then if you would like to read the whole book, you can subscribe to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're like wrapping at the end of this episode, which I feel like wasn't full of any joy.
It was just us kind of screaming into the air.
But I do think this is a quick thing that I just want to ask you about. Both of us celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm not religious, you're not religious, but it's like that weird, like, white, unreligious Christmas.
Yeah, totally.
That's very much what we celebrate. Uh-huh. But can you tell me when you realized that Santa wasn't real?
Okay, I was one of those weird kids that I feel like I feel like I realized earlier than anyone else around me knew, but I kept it going.
Oh, big brain.
I kept it.
Big brain Bree.
No. I kept it going for my parents, because when I was that young and dumb, I thought that they really wanted me to know that Santa was real. So I pretended for like another like 2 or 3 years that Santa was real.
This, you just being, you being like, I can't break it to
them. Literally, that was me. I was like,
I'm picturing you with like glasses reading a newspaper. Like, I'm picturing you as like a 45-year-old, 6-year-old.
No, I literally remember, this is what it was, in like grade 3 or something. Like, I was older. Like, okay. It's like grade 3, right? Grade 2 or 3.
I don't remember anything. And time is a figment
of your imagination. Yeah. And I was reading this book around Christmas. They brought in all these like holiday books.
Yeah. See, I couldn't read at that age, this age, so I was at a disadvantage.
I was reading this book about how Santa was real, and it was like a kid's book, but it was like speaking as if it was like a factual, like scientific book about like all, like debunking all the things that people say can't be real about Santa.
Okay.
And like how they actually are, it like posed in a scientific way. So anyways, I was reading that book, and this one kid in my class, he was like, you know that Santa's not real, right? Like blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no. But I, of course, out loud was like, yeah, obviously I knew that. And then he was like, I know, because my mom told me that if she's going to work her ass off and buy these presents for me, she's not giving credit to somebody else.
I kind of iconic.
And iconic.
We love
honestly.
A strong woman.
But I was like, oh, like, that's like actually like a really, like, I can't debunk that.
Yeah.
Because if his mom straight up said, like, all these are from me, not from Santa, like, he's not just like being a hater.
His,
like,
mom said, I'm rich and I did it myself.
I'm not giving this to any man.
I built this house from the ground up and I'll tear it apart just as fast.
Absolutely. So I was like, oh fuck. And then it was like, of course, right before the Christmas season, and I was like, I just gotta ride this one out for Jim and Don. Like, they really put in a lot of effort. My dad was still doing a thing where he would crunch the carrots outside, like,
my parents
front.
Didn't do that.
Okay, so my dad was so cute. He used to, like, we'd do the cookie thing, right?
Yeah.
So he'd, like, eat some of the cookies. You know, the cookie, you know. And then in the morning, he'd go, oh my God, girls, look outside. And he would break up little carrots on the, like, front, like driveway.
Like white people are so extra.
I know, like come on. But cute.
Yeah.
And so, like, as if when the reindeers were flying away, they're eating carrots. They're eating carrots.
Like, fucking sloppy eaters.
We're, like, over there, and we were like, oh, the proof is in the pudding. Like, obviously he's real. So then I wrote it out, and then I was actually kind of convinced again, because I was like, how did the carrots? Yeah. Like, if Santa's not real, then why are there half-eaten carrots on my driveway?
And cookies.
So I think there was, like, a couple years there where I went back and forth between convincing myself and just trying to stay ignorant from the truth that I knew. Because okay. I wanted to believe.
Yeah.
It's fun to believe in something magical like that.
But that's like all those kids that are like, Santa's not real. I mean, if my kid ever said that, jail. Going to jail.
No, same. I'm just going to be like, well, you're miserable, aren't
you? Honestly.
Like, aren't you just a miserable little thing?
Yeah, I'm like, your joy isn't real, so.
Like, that you don't even want to try and just have fun with this? Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, because everyone hates that kid, right? That kid in the class. And, like, all the other kids are like, yeah, I'm excited. And he's like, it's not real. It's like, fuck off, you miserable.
Yeah, you're clearly going through something.
Yes, seriously.
So, I'm honestly picturing you, like, reading a newspaper with glasses, and your parents come, and they're like, time to go see Santa at the mall, and you like slide your glasses down your nose and you like fold them and you're like, we gotta cut this shit out.
I gotta tell you, I gotta break this to you guys. Yeah, I don't think it ever really, like, there wasn't an official mom and dad, I don't know Santa's real anymore. Okay. I think we just kind of like pretended until it was obvious that I was of an age that it wasn't a thing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. How about you? Do you have a...
My mom wouldn't do the carrots, but she would like wrap them in separate wrapping paper.
Oh yeah, my mom did that too.
Yeah, because some kids, like, you'd see it and it's like clearly the same wrapping paper. And
have
it's
you
like...
seen that TikTok that's like what is the sound? It's like suspicious or something.
Oh, that's weird. That's suspicious.
Yeah. And it's like this grown woman obviously pretending like she's a kid, like comparing Santa's wrapping paper to my mom's. Like,
yeah.
That's weird. That's suspicious.
My mom would do the separate wrapping paper and write in handwriting instead of just like lettering.
Yeah.
And I remember so specifically, I was already kind of like not fully on board on the Santa's real train. Mm-hmm. And I unwrapped a present that was from Santa. And without even thinking, I was like, oh, thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
And which was bad because I didn't thank my dad. And I said, thanks, Mom. And my mom was like, you're welcome. And then I literally, I'm not kidding you, it's so solidly in my mind. I was holding the present and I just looked at her and she looked at me and we were like, that's the end.
Like, that's crazy. That's so funny that you have that.
Yeah, like both of us were like, well, that's done.
Well, we got this far.
Yeah. She's like, the jig is up.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so.
Oh, man. Well, for all of you listening that still believe in Santa Claus.
Sorry.
That was all a joke.
Very carrots, real. Lots very of yeah, messy eaters.
All right, wherever you're listening, make sure that you are following or subscribed. It really helps us out. Also, make sure that you rate us 5 stars only, of course.
Christmas present
us. Oh my gosh, yeah. We love a little holiday cheer, 5 stars only.
Yeah, we're cool for you all.
Make sure you're following us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And while we're at it, over on our Instagram bio, you can click the link. There's our merch as well as our Patreon. And we want to give a special holiday shout out to Aiden, who is such an amazing, generous supporter of this podcast. Thank you for being you. We really, really appreciate it. And we hope that you have amazing holidays. Same to the rest of our patrons. And of course, everyone who listens to I Can Explain Podcast. And I think that's it. What do we say at the end? Until next time.
See you around the neighborhood. My God.
I drew a blank. I was saw. Like, that's it.